news ticker for Wednesday, May 16th, 2012. And here's brought to you by Mingoville Fun Clock. Mingoville Fun Clock is an educational game that'll teach your kid how to tell the time. Fun Clock is created by the award-winning educational company Mingoville and available for Android and iOS devices. Visit MingovilleFunClock.com and follow them on Twitter at Mingoville. Of course, we thank them for the support of ENT. Welcome to ENT. My name is Kirsten Winkler.
And I'm Christopher Dawson. This week in Tech and Startups, Honda presents a robotic stool at UniCUP. Honda's latest personal mobility device, the UniCub, appears to be a robotic stool with an omnidirectional wheel, dubbed the Honda Omni Traction Drive System, no less. You control speed and direction of the UniCub by shifting your weight in the saddle, and the unit is designed to keep you at eye level with non-chair riding pedestrians. Obviously, this is no all-terrain vehicle, but does claim to handle gradients, has a top speed of 6 kilometers per hour, and a range of just under 4 miles. If you follow the link in the show notes, you can watch a demo video of the UniCub. That's a courtesy of Engadget.
Yeah, it actually looks rather funny when you have a look at the video. But, I mean, why not? We had the story about the robots going to work or school for us, so and we sort of getting fed on our cultures, so why not then having this vehicle and who
carry
is
sorry
of carrying us like, around and
it's 6 kilometers per hour, you know, and it's I don't know how useful it will be for someone who's you know, disabled, because it seems like it require a little bit of a little bit of balance. But
yeah, you definitely see that in the video how the person is moving and so on. It looks a little bit like somebody in the restroom, but I mean in the sitting position, so it's quite funny. On the other hand, I also like it. We'll see.
Just for the purposes of Geekville, I agree.
So TechCrunch has a story about teams in tech, and they launch a job board for high schoolers. There are lots of internship sites, true. However, they are primarily targeting college students and not high schoolers, who are, after all, almost certainly cheaper while still being able to accomplish some of the same basic tasks. Founder and CEO Daniel Brusilovsky says that, to quote, "The goal of Teens in Tech is to help young entrepreneurs, and a lot of those young entrepreneurs are still in high school. And they don't get the same opportunities that college students get with internships." So this might be true. Maybe entrepreneurs getting younger and younger. Hard to say when is the right point to start with your entrepreneurial dreams become a reality. On the other hand, I don't know. I don't like this money argument too much, but of course, it's also true.
And it's never too early to start getting some real-world experience. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little early to start your business, but to actually get out there and do something useful and start putting experience on your resume, that's never a bad thing. So.
As long as they get a somewhat decent pay, maybe.
Yeah, minimum wage. That's why you gotta love the high school students. The Bench Prep teams up with the Princeton Review to gamify test prep. Bench Prep, a young edtech startup backed by $2.2 million from LightBank, launched last year to convert content from big educational publishers like McGraw-Hill into interactive web and mobile courses. While the startup expanded beyond college admission test prep in January, today it's announcing that it is teaming with the Princeton Review to contemporize test prep for students, using game mechanics, leaderboards, and social features to make the tedious and teeth-grinding process of test prep more engaging and hopefully more effective. GRE ScoreQuest is an iOS app that gamifies the study process for students taking the GRE. And obviously, the target audience is fairly limited, as it is intended for those studying to take the standardized test to get into grad school. But that's also on TechCrunch. And this idea, not necessarily doesn't have to be a game, but just adding competitive features does seem to be effective. Things don't have to be entertaining, but a sense of competition is usually a decent motivator, which is helpful.
And, if I remember correctly, but I think so, the Princeton Review appeared in quite some stories we covered over the past couple of weeks, and so they're pretty active, and I'm not sure that, maybe seeing tech in general, TechCrunch is right, but seeing EdTech or education, I don't even think that the audience is that limited. So I think they can still target a fair amount of people there. So
Certainly on lots of these educational sites and course delivery sites, JRE prep is huge. And if they do that, they can certainly expand beyond that. So, here's K-12 and higher ed news. This is a fun story. The Vatican is investigating Girl Scouts for links to safe sex education groups. The Catholic Church is now investigating the Girl Scouts for their sinfully delicious cookies, but rather for the organization's ties to nonprofits such as Médecins Sans Frontières and other groups that teach safe sex education. Barbie Latsanidou on how one U.S. official's claim the GSA has links to Planned Parenthood has absolutely snowballed. This is reported over on the Daily Beast. And, I think that story stands on its own.
I'm going to sneak in a story about the Khan Academy and their badges project on Facebook. So with its new Facebook integration, users can now click the share button on any badge, and once permission is granted, the badge will appear on users' timelines. This share functionality also works for Twitter and email, by the way. And after a user shares a couple of badges, a dedicated section will appear in your timeline, in this case for Khan badges earned. Users can thankfully edit or remove that view, and if you've collected and shared more badges than can fit in the view, you can customize which badges appear and change settings for individual badges. But of course, we see the Khan Academy, I think, exploring ways how to spread and potentially get really in the mind or eyes of the mass consumers. So
absolutely, and to push forward some sort of legitimization of mm-hmm. and accreditation for the things people are learning. Our perception of what counts as education and what is an acceptable form of learning is changing, and mm-hmm. maybe that's going to involve a social graph. So
absolutely. So let's have a look into the college budget acquires Munch on Me to bring food deals to campuses. Another story from TechCrunch, always a reliable source, of course. So college budget is moving more aggressively into local offers, particularly around food. For hungry, cash-strapped college students and... most of us wear that at least at one point in our college careers, I think. Food discounts can be extremely appealing, especially when one of the alternatives is the school's cafeteria. Yeah, who do you say that? This is where Munch on Me comes into the picture. Munch on Me is a daily deal site for food. College Budget has 2 million students and features deals from over 250 merchants at more than 100 campuses. The growth saw a big jump in January when the startup launched national deals with American Apparel and Skype.
Cool. So here's the one. Why HBO is opening salad bars in elementary schools. HBO's new miniseries, The Weight of the Nation, is an ambitious look at obesity, but it's also a massive public health campaign with the weight of a massive media company behind it. The miniseries is paired with a companion book, tens of thousands of free copies for community organization, and a companion children's version. Approximately 40,000 copies will be distributed free of charge to community organizations along with a bilingual, English and Spanish, discussion guide. The companion children's program, The Weight of the Nation for Kids, will air on HBO starting on May 16th, today. Significant support for the children's program was offered by Whole Foods, Whole Kids Foundation, in preparation for the documentaries airing. HBO and the Whole Kids Foundation entered into an agreement to fund 100 salad bars in schools across America. Whole Kids has been engaged in a long-term project to install 6,000 salad bars in public schools nationwide. Hmm. So
we could make good use of this over here in Europe as well, as we have, many overweight, even obese kids here as well.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not just an American problem.
France is doing a little better, but, in the UK, Germany, of course, and it's starting here as well. So definitely some alarming signs, and we should all eat from time to time or even regularly some salad.
Yeah, a little salad, yeah.
Paid content brings us a story of a judge comes down hard on publishers, Apple, in the ebook case. So news on that front. So in a strongly worded opinion, U.S. District Judge Denise Cote, rejected requests by Apple and 5 book publishers to throw out a class action suit that accuses them of price fixing. Citing ongoing state, federal, and international antitrust investigations, Cody turned down arguments that Apple and the publishers had acted independently when they changed the pricing model for ebooks. Judge Cody's ruling came in response to a request by Apple and 5 publishers to dismiss the case. It does not mean that the companies are liable for price fixing, but rather that the class action lawyers can go forward in bringing the case to trial.
Yes, indeed. So, where do college grads want to go to work? According to new research, Google was the most desired employer for business and information technology students. The company is also fourth on the list for engineering students and students with other majors. While Google was the top choice among business and IT majors, NASA was the most desired place to work for engineering students. Among students majoring in liberal arts, education, and humanities, working at the Walt Disney Company was the top choice. Apple was also the top choice among students from all majors. The survey of nearly 60,000 undergrads also revealed that undergraduates were most concerned about job security and work-life balance as they began their job search. In particular, work-life balance was a top priority and a large point of contention among students and their future employers.
I think no big surprises here. No. Big corporations, big companies, not so much the startup world, apparently also for guaranteeing, I don't know, what do you work in the States, 45 hours per week usually, or...
Well, it should be 40, but yeah, I think there's a perception here that, you know, Google's all massages and haircuts and steps, not that, you know, they do that to keep you there 80 hours a week. I think that the 50, 55 hours becoming a de facto norm, certainly in the IT world, but it's supposed to be 40. Yeah.
Okay, so
I remember last 40 hours in a week. So,
but apparently for this generation, work-life balance is very important. So I see some slight resistance here to working too many over hours per week or month.
Probably.
Next story is from GeekWire. Can a game console help diagnose autism? Microsoft's Kinect is in a promising study. Researchers at the University of Minnesota are using Microsoft's Xbox 360 game console and Kinect sensor in an experimental effort to pick up early signs of autism, Popular Science reports. The Kinects are set up in the Institute of Child Development to track the individual children by size and the color of their clothing and can monitor about 10 children at a time. Software takes a raw visual data from the Kinects and runs it through an algorithm to look for possible markers of ASD, like an unusually hyperactive or unusually quiet and calm child. Quote, researchers and scientists believe that psychiatric disorders display subtle physical abnormalities in childhood well before the onset of a full disorder. Lead researcher Nikolaos Papanikopoulos said, we believe that we can use new computational tools, including computer vision and robotics, with a unique new computer vision algorithm to observe and detect abnormalities in motor and emotion in children to automatically analyze them for abnormalities. Pretty innovative approach. Yeah.
It is. And eye tracking software is coming online quickly too, and that will be a key.
I saw that on CES, fascinating.
It is. That's great. So MIT's BrainPut reads your mind to make multitasking easier. So the BrainPut project combines a near-infrared spectroscopy with an input system designed to read changes in a user's brain state and translate those signals into an adaptive multitasking interface. Sounds like heady stuff, but if successfully implemented into high-stress environments like air traffic control, the low-cost experimental tech can go a long way to boosting individual performance and reducing overall stress levels. For now, the team still has a ways to go before the system, presently capable of interpreting three distinct mental states, could make its way into end-user applications. But that's also on Engadget, which is actually very cool. We think about the folks who actually have to multitask when we know that we don't
our
actually...
Our brain doesn't really do it, yeah. Do,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't notice me doing air traffic control. Captain ADD, that would be a bad idea. And that closes this episode of ENT. You'll find all the links to that we covered in EduQuest. Just go to eduquest.com/ENT13, the number 13. And also follow EdNewsTicker on Twitter, @EdNewsTicker, to stay updated during the week. You can also help us with the show. Just go to our new subreddit at ednewsticker.reddit.com and submit your own articles and vote or comment on the ones you want us to discuss during the show. ENT will be back on Friday. Till then, have a great rest of the week, everyone.